Hi, this is Julie.
This is Liz.
This is Sheila.
This is Monica.
This is Leanne.
We are the Satellite Sisters.
You are listening to Satellite Sisters to Go.
Welcome to Satellite Sisters. Happy to have you today. I'm Leanne Dolan here in Pasadena, California on a shockingly beautiful day. I am so, so sorry for the Satellite Sisterhood that is east of the Colorado Rockies because I know it is misery there. My sister Julie Dolan joining me in Dallas, Texas. Julie, I can't even believe the pictures of the Midwest, how bad it looks.
It's the ice box. So this is a whole nother Polar Express. It's terrible. And of course, it's a shiny, beautiful day here in Dallas, Leanne. So yes, that looks miserable. The snow, the cold, and there's a lot more to come of it.
So. And the worst thing is people have been posting on the Facebook pages, like, more snow days, like, enough is enough. I mean, that's what kills you as a mother. You're like, I can deal with the cold. It's the kids off of school I can't deal with.
And this is bad because you've had the Martin Luther King holiday, on Monday, of course. So a lot of parents are scrambling, with childcare on that day because schools are out in commemoration of the holiday. But then you've got to scramble again. And
a lot of schools just called it. Like schools in D.C. and stuff, it's not even snowing there yet, but they just said, don't come to school. They called it before the snow started.
Oh. Okay, can I say, they're such weather wimps in D.C. They really are. Okay, there you go.
All right. Yeah. Well, we have a rich, full show today. I mean, I hope we can jam it all in. We have a lot of health news. Of course, I'm doing a detox, and Julie has some cautionary tales about several things that you may be shocked about that could kill you. things that seem fairly harmless, but they can kill.
That are in your home right now.
Yes, indeed. That's like an 11 p.m. news promo, you know, right now in your home, deadly things that kill. So we're going to talk about that. We have some advice for Maggie. She is taking her granddaughter to NYC as a graduation gift in the spring. She posted on the Facebook page she wanted some advice for a New York City trip. I just have a couple of pieces of advice. We're going to do a little international news here, some serious. And then of course, our Tuesday edition of Downton Gabby. We are forging on. We are forging on with Downton Gabby. And looking forward to that. Again, we'll be at the end of the show. So if you haven't watched the show or this season, you haven't caught up yet, we'll give you plenty of spoiler alerts. But Julie, I wanted to start on a joyous note because I went somewhere this weekend to an event I had never been to before, a second wedding. Okay. And here was the situation. My delightful neighbor, Marilyn, who lives behind me, she lost her husband 5 years ago. So one of those incredibly sad things. Oh. Marilyn had been a public school teacher and a principal. She had just retired. Dave was an accountant. He was like on the verge of retiring and he had a brain tumor. Oh, and he went so fast, like right. They had worked so hard, raised three kids, were looking forward, who lived all over the place. They were so looking forward to retirement. And Dave died within like 8 months of being diagnosed. It was just super sad. And she's like the world's nicest human being, just generous and lovely. We share a back fence. Colin does a lot of house sitting for her. You know, we have a text relationship. She's always on the phone. She's just super great. So she actually got married for a second time to a widower, Roger.
Nice.
You know what?
Aren't you happy when you hear stories like that? That you get a second chance at love, that you found someone later in your life. That's very inspiring.
I had never been to a second wedding, and it was just clear that everyone was super happy for them. There were no issues, no bad blood, no, you know, stepdaughter, step-parent things. This was just a pure celebration of joy. And that was so much fun to be at. Marilyn looked thrilled. Roger looked thrilled. All the kids, the grandchildren looked thrilled. And it was fantastic. And there were so many people that wanted to join in some portion of the event. You could even forgive Marilyn. Like some people were invited to the wedding on Saturday and a lunch on Sunday. And other people were invited to the wedding and a reception. There was also a church on Sunday, lunch on Sunday combo.
Whoa. That,
yeah. It was like a 2-day wedding celebration. And it didn't even, like, if this was someone you weren't happy for, you'd be like, what is this? But it was like, Marilyn, wherever you want us to go. So we went to the wedding Saturday night and a luncheon at her house on Sunday. But here's the best thing, Julie. I just want you to know, if you decide to get married for a second time, here's an excellent thing to have in your family.
What is that?
The groom's son is a tenor at the Metropolitan Opera.
Wow.
Unbelievable music at the wedding.
So they had some very high-class music.
It was really a draw for me, I'll tell you, because I was going to take the church service on Sunday, lunch on Sunday option, but I went for the 2-day option because Marilyn texted me and said, come to the wedding. You know, my new son-in-law or stepson is a tenor. For the Met, and he's sung in opera houses all over the world. So, Julie, he nailed that Lord's Prayer. I mean, it was unbelievable. And it was just added to, like, the joy and the magic of the whole event. So if you're looking for a second husband, I suggest marrying someone whose child is an opera singer. That's what I have to say.
For some talent. And, you know, the thing is now that a lot of people skip the ceremony part. Have you seen this trend?
We've talked about it. We do not agree. Yeah, we do not agree.
And so if you had skipped the actual ceremony, you would have missed out on this very talented son.
It was unbelievable. And they are Methodists, and they're a pretty straightforward group, the Methodists. So I really wanted him to break out in some Puccini, but he really stuck with, like, the 23rd Psalm and the Lord's Prayer. So, but
very
still,
dignified.
Very dignified ceremony.
So what was the bride wearing?
She looked great. She was wearing like a purple dress, like a really like an egg, a rich purple dress with a touch of sparkle. She went for it. And she had her daughter was her best, you know, her maid of honor. Grandchildren were the bridesmaid, were the flower girls. And she was wearing a veil, though, which I thought was really lovely because it was. Sounds- yeah.
Like a long veil or?
No, a little short veil with her beautiful purple dress. And it looked fantastic. It just looked great. It was just a very joyous ceremony. And I was thinking, yeah, good for them. You know, everyone was happy that they got this second shot. Her late husband's brothers were there. You know, they were all supportive. So it was super nice. Super all nice right. wedding. Yeah.
Well, that's I hope we have more second weddings in our future.
Again, I'm coming if your future son is an opera singer. I'm in. It made me want to go to the opera, actually. I haven't been to the opera in a long time. And I was like, goodness gracious, this guy can sing. So
I know you've just been watching American Idol.
Right. So that's it. Or pretty good church singers in church every week. Like, oh, and then when like a really trained opera singer busts out, you're like, holy cow. And he hit a note. Oh, he hit a note in the Lord's Prayer. Beautiful. So anyway, two thumbs up for the second wedding. That's what I have to say.
Okay, well, you know, there's a bigger celebration is just 3 weeks away. Can you believe the Olympics are 3 weeks away, Liam?
I know. I'm so excited. And yet, Julie, I am now really scared for the safety of our athletes. I have to say, I am very concerned.
It is, you know, just today they announced that they're looking for 3 more of these Black Widow bombers that are in the area of Sochi because various Islamic militant groups from the Dagestan region have promised to deliver what they're calling a present at the Russian Olympics in Sochi, Russia.
And you think they will? They're serious. This is not an idle threat.
I mean, these female Russian bombers, when I lived in Moscow, I lived there for 5 years.
If you're new to the show, we go to Julie for international news because she lived abroad for 10 years and actually was nominated for some press coverage for her work when she reported from Moscow on us. So that's why she is our Russian expert. And for Eric, who's now listening to the podcast and doesn't know the background. So there you go, Eric.
But this was that they were, you know, these terrorists were, you know, there were several events while we were living in Moscow. But one of the events were two female bombers. And these are, you know, these are women coming out of the Chechnya, Dagestan region. And they, the women are, you know, are, they have all the explosives on it. And it's so unusual because, you know, we usually think of, you know, suicide bombers as just being men. But the, you know, the profile of these women is that every man in their family has been killed and or tortured by the Russians. And so this is their payback, that they are doing this for the men in their lives, you know, their sons, their husbands, their fathers, their uncles, their neighbors. And so they, you know, that that was a terrifying time. You know, every time you took the subway in Moscow, you know, what, you know, you were thinking, oh, my gosh, looking around.
Right.
So I think so. So the idea that, the, you know, that these terrorist groups have already said they, you know, they want to, you know, they want to deliver a present, you know, and the thing about Sochi is, you know, everyone knows it's been coming up for, you know, 4 years.
Right.
So, you know, it may be that they are already embedded. They're already behind this alleged, you know, 1500 mile curtain of steel that Vladimir Putin has put up, that is where essentially most of the residents of Sochi have been pushed out of the actual town. And they've set it up as a big security ring.
Oh, really? I didn't realize the residents had to leave.
So, I mean, you know, this is, again,
that's really in the Olympic spirit.
I know. I mean,
why did the IOC give them the games? That's the, you know, well, don't get me started on the IOC, but right. Okay.
So. One of the reasons, one of the pitches to the IOC, why Sochi won, was that this was going to be, you know, as some economic engine to have the Olympics there. It was all the development, you know, was going to help an area that really was suffering, very poor, no industry, that it really had crumbled after the Soviet system had dissolved. And so that was part of the pitch that Russia made, that this is a way to help the post-Soviet Russians, you know, sort of get a leg up. But in fact, when you read about what's happened there, is they pushed all the residents out and they have created sort of this Potemkin village where, yes, it's going to look pretty nice in this, you know, in the area where the Olympic venues are. But if you go, you know, beyond that and look to see where people are living, you know, you're going to see a real crumbling infrastructure where plumbing is bad, lack of electricity, lack of water, substandard housing. And no jobs, that, you know, these people are out of work because they can't, you know, they can't use any of the transportation because that's all saved for the Olympians. So I think it is a real worry. Now, when after they had the female suicide bombings, when we were living in Moscow, one of the things that the Russian security did is they don't have any qualms about racial profiling.
Right.
Okay? Can I say that? Like, you know, unlike the United States, where we sort of err on the other side, you know, every time you go through, you know, airport security and they're patting down some grandmother or some six-year-old. But and that's not how the Russians handle it. You know, when I can remember traveling during this period, right after the bombings, that you would go to the airport and there were just Russian soldiers or part of their security forces right there by the door. And they are just, they're doing it by face. Like, and if your skin color was wrong or if you looked wrong, you were pulled out of line. And that, so there's going to be a lot of that, which I think is going to be incredibly uncomfortable for the international press. So it's going to be a really rough time that way, Leanne. And I think there's some real security threats. I mean, I think
I read the U.S. State Department is getting involved in keeping the athletes safe this time.
But, right. I guess because they're bringing over FBI agents, but fewer FBI agents than for other Olympic games. So, and, you know, this is a part of the world where corruption is a way of life. So, you know, where in other areas you may say, okay, well, this is nice and secure. We don't have to worry about it. But in this part of the world where bribery, you know, where you can bribe a guard, you can bribe a police officer, you know, that I think you'll see that this is going to be a very difficult situation. And, you know, that's a terrible way to start the Olympic Games.
It is. And a terrible worry, a burden on the athletes emotionally.
Right. Yeah. For the athletes.
Because it makes me wonder, is it safer to stay in the Olympic Village or not?
Yeah, it's going to be hard to say. And then a couple other things. There's no snow. Can I
right.
Which is going to be really rough for an Olympic Games with
the skiers.
Snow. No snow, but that's last week, very little snow in Sochi. So they're really going to have to start working on that. I know they've been stockpiling snow. They've been saving it for several years. I don't know how that's possible, Leanne, but they have bunkers of snow. So, but they're going to have to start getting that snow out pretty soon. But here's the good news, Leanne. Tickets are still available if you would like to go.
Sure, they are. Yes, I did read an article this week, like, Americans not flocking to Sochi to the Olympics like we used to, like we have in the past. Yeah, Americans aren't going.
No, this is, I mean, well, for a lot of reasons. I mean, okay, right. Number one, terror threat. Yes, right. Okay, this is a region of the country that you wouldn't travel to. I mean, Sochi is a nice resort town. But you would never travel to this area if you didn't have to. And then traveling there it's very expensive to get there.
Right. Yeah. Where is it anyway? I mean,
it's on the blocks. It's on the blocks.
I know that. But like, what? Yeah. How do I even get there? Huh?
Yes. Yeah, so it's going to be a long, expensive trip. They have hotels that they've built for the Olympics, but they're very expensive. That's another issue. And then the other thing is, there's really nothing else for, there are no other tourist attractions in this area. So it's not like the London Olympics where maybe you were going for a particular reason, you know, but that's, so that's something. So about 30% of the tickets are still available, Leanne. So
I'm sure Vladimir will fill those seats though.
Oh,
He will find someone to sit in those seats.
Yeah, he's going to get someone, and he's going to be shirtless at the opening ceremonies. That's my prediction.
That's your prediction. Okay.
One other place in the world I just need to mention, because I think it was sort of more than gut-wrenching, sort of soul-crushing to see the newly released videos coming out of North Korea of the American that's held there, Kenneth Bae. Have you seen that? They just released these videos. You know, there he is in North Korean prison clothes, and he's confessing to the crimes that he's made against the state of North Korea. It's just, I mean, it's a tragic situation. He's been there since 2012. He's in very poor health, and he's undergone, you know, really horrific conditions. I guess in some sense, it's a miracle that he's alive.
Right.
I read today that the Obama administration is now offered to send an envoy to North Korea to see if they could secure his release. But again, as we've talked many times on this show, you know, that's really the only two things that that North Korea exports are, you know, it's terror and propaganda. And to see an American, no matter how he got there or why he went or what he was doing, but to see someone being tortured like that is really tough. So,
yeah, I actually found out, I was walking with my friend yesterday whose father-in-law was being held, whose father-in-law was the World War II or the Korean War vet that was being held for 3 months in North Korea and just returned home to Northern California. So I actually was, walking the Rose Bowl with her yesterday, and she said it almost gave her flashbacks to see those fake confessional videos, because that's what her father-in-law had to do, was confess to all these crimes. You know, he was handed a poorly written statement by the North Korean officials, and he had to read it. And he read it word for word so people would know that it wasn't him who actually wrote it, because the grammar was so bad. But she said it was really, really hard to watch that, because she knew exactly, you know, from her father-in-law's descriptions. In the meantime, the father-in-law had a command performance at the retirement home where he was living.
He's got tapes for a lifetime.
He spoke to 250 residents of the retirement home about his time in North Korea this weekend. And he and his wife are headed off to Africa in a couple of weeks.
No way.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. No, he's going. He's undeterred. So they're headed off to South Africa. I'm like, he is not going to Somalia, is he? Because you got to wash your hands of him. That's what he's doing. Nope. There they go. He's undeterred. So the flip side of that. But yeah, it was hard to see those videos. Hard to watch.
Yeah. So hopefully Kenneth Bae will have a safe return. So that's good. But yes, things to watch.
All right.
Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, do we... We love Osea skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life, aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
No kidding. I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils, I love it all. That duo they have going, like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the mega moisture duo.
Yes.
You can literally see your skin get firmer, and it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know we have raved about the Undaria algae body oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria collagen body oil. Youthful, yeah. Liz, your youthful yeah. glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SADSISTERS. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea. Liz, summer is coming up, and you know what that means? It means you're grilling. You're grilling and
for
chilling
sure.
there
yes.
with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for a part of the summer, yeah. I'm having my box sent there, Leanne.
That's great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. ButcherBox gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. No antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because yeah. it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your ButcherBox account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your ButcherBox on vacation, which is... That's nice. Nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free for a year offer, plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox.
Oh, you know what else I've been doing this week is my detox, okay? Oh, besides going to second
Can I
wedding.
Say you sound very perky for someone on a detox? Now, Sunday on the show, I could tell there was just a tinge of I don't know whether it was anger,
deprivation.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You sound perkier today.
Today is a turning point for me. Okay. So I've been on this detox. I'm working with a nutritionist, a friend of mine who's a certified personal trainer and a nutritionist on this supervised detox. And it's not a cleanse. So I am eating three meals a day and eating snacks, but I am not eating grains, nuts, dairy, any processed
So you're
food.
Really not eating. That's basically.
Well, I'm eating. Remember we talked a couple weeks ago about how you're supposed to eat 2 pounds of vegetables a day?
Yes.
I believe I am approaching that number. I honestly, I am eating you can eat like kale till your head falls off. And we had a giant kale salad last night. I'm eating, you know, carrot and orange spice soup. I can eat.
Oh, that's bad. I've had that. Yeah,
oh,
that's...
you know what? This is delicious. I have to say, it's my friend Carol and I are doing it together, and Carol's a great cook. So she followed all the recipes that we were given in our detox. She made like double portions of the soup and brought them all over to me because she's the world's nicest person. And, they are fantastic soups, and I like a hot soup at lunchtime. So I'm even enjoying like the creamed parsnip soup. And when I say creamed, I mean with almond milk because we're not allowed dairy. But I have to say, Julie, today is the turning point because over the weekend, I did not feel that good. I had headaches from – I didn't eliminate all the caffeine, but I've significantly reduced it. I just felt bad. Like I missed nuts. I missed Triscuits. I missed Greek yogurt. I was cranky. Like even yesterday, I'm like, this is for the birds. Why am I doing this? But then this morning, I have to say, I actually feel great because – you know what? Guess what? You feel better when you're eating like kale and smoothies than when you're eating Christmas cookies and wine. It actually works. So far, so good.
How many more days on this?
I theoretically till Friday, but I think I'm going to, now that I actually feel good, I think I may go for it for a couple of more days through the weekend at least. And it is a super healthy way to eat. Here's the problem. You have to make everything yourself.
Yeah.
And it is very time consuming.
Right?
You know, that's so you really do need to like spend one day a week cooking all your soups and even just preparing all the salads that you're going to eat or something. It's very time consuming. So, cause you can't reach into the cupboard and grab something quick. That's usually a processed food. So you can't do that. So I'm feeling good so far. Barrick is on board with me. He's eating the kale salad. We're not having wine at night. That's all good. So he's on board. I don't know what he's eating during the day, but under my supervision, he's eating. Like this morning, I had a fig and spinach smoothie.
That sounds so bad.
You know what? It was yummy. I have to say.
But then when do you, after the detox, then what happens?
Then where do you go?
She
supervises you slowly reintroducing these foods into your diet. And the idea is you figure out which foods actually really make you feel kind of bad to eat them. Like, is it dairy? Is it carbohydrates? Is it processed food? Like, okay, if you feel good on the detox, when do you start to feel kind of bloated and too full? And...
oh, so it's kind of like the plan, the inflammation.
It's inflammation based, Julie. Yes. It is like the plan, but my friend is not, I don't think, as militant as the plan person. And she, again, is a mom with two kids. So she's all about like clean eating when you can. Her goal is to get everyone to the 80-20 eating method, like 80% of the time you're eating clean, as they say. And then the other 20%, you can, you know, eat what you want within reason. So, and that's my goal.
Is it all right? Well, Leon, I want to know, are you having any of that kale guacamole? Did you see that on our Facebook page? That Cindy Wood put the,
that put actually the made me laugh out loud. It was like kale mole, right? That was, she just took a picture and posted it on our Facebook page. Okay, that's not the purpose of kale.
It is not. No. Well, not at all. In fact, Leon, I've been spending most of this week on the kale kills sites that are out there. You know, because there are a lot of grisly results from eating too much kale. And yes. I just wanted to bring that to everyone's attention, that they have studied, because really before Whole Foods started stockpiling those giant, you know, things of kale, you know, they only gave kale to livestock. They didn't feed it to humans.
Oh, really?
Right. No, why would they? It's like a juniper bush. You know, it's not. Okay. It's, you know, it's for like sheep. It's not for human beings.
Okay.
And here's the sad part that they have done. They have a great body of research on the sort of horrific effects of kale on livestock, because one of the byproducts of kale is sulfur. And so a lot of animals were getting this sulfur poisoning, kale poisoning, Leon.
Kale poisoning.
All right. So, because it's very rich in sulfur, kale, and sometimes when it breaks down wrong. And so If you're having it every day for guacamole and for in your smoothies,
kale chips and in the smoothies,
kale chips and kale soup and, you know, kale sandwiches, you just really, you know, I think
you can overdo kale.
You
even
can
kale you need to take in moderation.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just want to pass that on.
Thank you. So
good, Leanne. Well, I'm glad you're working on that. I have some other health news, but I have just one question. You know, there's been so much talk about what Colorado did by legalizing pot. And now the president has come out and talked about his own pot smoking experience. And, you know, he doesn't think it's that bad and everything. So, but here's my question.
Yeah.
How is it that pot is so popular? Now, I mean, I know the obvious reasons, but you are still smoking, aren't you?
I
don't understand where you cannot smoke a cigarette pretty much anywhere anymore. But no, I don't see a lot of people talking about the harmful effects of just of pot smoke on your lungs. I mean, or is it not as bad as tobacco? I mean, okay.
I'm not a health expert, but I did hear a report the other day from some of the Colorado pot shops. They're selling a lot of edibles. Like, okay. It's almost running like 60% to 40%, where people are coming in to buy like brownies and chocolate chip cookies and potamole and stuff.
Potamole.
So I made that up. So I don't understand, but I believe it's your generation's fault because you all started the pot thing in the 60s, and they have seen like a real increase in baby boomers smoking it because it's calorie free, although allegedly you get the munchies, of course. So I don't know why people smoke it. It's just never been my thing, and I'm not a big fan of people who have smoked it. They're slow. It's not that entertaining to be with them. I don't understand.
No, I just don't know how they're getting away with that, you know, because health officials are, you know, really down on tobacco, but somehow, you know, smoking pot is not. So
I guess
bad.
The idea is you're not smoking three packs of pot a day. You know,
you know that.
I don't know.
You're still putting like gross smoke in your lungs. So there you have it. Or okay. But anyway,
my son is supposed to go to college in Colorado. I'm not that thrilled by the whole thing, frankly. Yeah, no, I'm not that thrilled by it.
Okay, so some much more shocking and startling health news that I need to bring to your attention was a story that I saw at the Huffington Post about Spanx. You know, mm-hmm. it's a girl's best friend, right?
Yeah.
That you know, these are the shapewear things that you put on. Well, now a lot of doctors are coming out and saying that what Spanx and other shapewear are doing to you is they are literally squeezing your organs, and that they are, by compressing your stomach and your intestine and your colon, you are worsening several pretty serious health conditions, such as acid reflux. You can get heartburn, and you can also get erosive esophagitis. Okay, but it also gets worse, Leanne, that many people who are wearing Spanx are also experiencing a shortness of breath because when they, you know, the Spanx is really restricting your diaphragm that you need for if you're going to, you know, take a full
breathe.
Right, if you need to breathe. And then so that is not good. And it also compresses your bowels, Leanne. And I don't think you should do anything to compress your bowels ever. Okay. So, and that is resulting in symptoms of tingling, of numbness, of pain, not to mention just the lack of sort of air going circulating when you're wearing Spanx, you know, which is increase in yeast and bacterial infections. So doctors are now saying you should only wear Spanx for special occasions. If you're going to a second wedding, going to a first wedding, going out for a prom or something, but that you should not be wearing Spanx every day.
On a daily. Well, I don't know, Julie, you're thin, so you probably don't wear Spanx, but occasionally I have to squeeze.
Everybody wears Spanx.
Yeah, I have to squeeze myself into something. And when I take them off, I feel bad. You know, like it does do all those things you mentioned.
Because you've been compressing your bowels.
I am compressing. I need some compression. And then when it decompresses, it doesn't feel good. Yeah, It is. I put them on very reluctantly because I just feel bad at the end of the day when I take them off. So,
yeah. So, and I think the combination of kale and Spanx is particularly dangerous, Leanne. When you think about that,
believe me, you couldn't be doing this detox and be Spanxing. You cannot be Spanxing during the detox. Let me just tell you that.
Yeah. No, you can't. So it's just, but I mean, we all love our Spanx, but they're killing you.
It's like the high heels. What we do to look good, like the high heels. You know, it's bad for like every part of your feet and all that, your back, all that kind of stuff. And then, but ladies are still wearing 5-inch heels and squeezing into their Spanx. I know. Wouldn't it be easier just to wear clogs all the time loose skirts?
No clogs.
I'm almost at that point where I'm going to get like just clogs for round the clock usage.
Leanne, don't do it. You really got to hold the line. Okay. See, you're turning 50. This is why this decade, the fifth decade, Leanne, it's really that you make a decision, and either you decide to let it go, you
know, or hold on, or hold fast.
Yes, right. But you make a turn in your 50s. Everybody is making a turn. So you need to think about that as you're approaching this next decade, and clogs is not your answer, sister. Okay?
Okay.
Liz, you know we love talking about Framebridge, don't we?
We do.
because
there are just so many fun things to frame, Leanne, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting Framebridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing to get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah, any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leanne, they have already Framebridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the Framebridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and Framebridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but Framebridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds like...
But you're going to be happy, okay? And that's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be out. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or see a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's framebridge.com. Thanks, Framebridge. Hey, it's Liz and Leanne here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz. My hair from PROS is getting rave reviews.
Leanne, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, PROS is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Leanne Dolan? Yes, I do. I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, PROS, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Leanne's. Okay? And I'm using it. PROS isn't just better for you. It's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon neutral custom beauty brand. So pros, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Leon and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, pros. Pros is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And pros is spelled P-R-O-S-E. Pros.com/sisters. Thanks, pros.
All right. We had a good question on the Satellite Sisters Facebook page from Maggie. She is taking her 18-year-old daughter, or 18-year-old granddaughter, I believe, to New York City for a graduation trip in the spring, which is super nice. If you're not a member of our Facebook open group, it's an open group. It's, we have a page because that's the law. But our open group is just people can post whatever they want. You have to, you know, apply. Liz approves you. It's just not a long approval process to be part of the open because she's the only administrator. But then you can just solicit opinions from the Satellite Sisterhood and take the conversation wherever you want to. You can join Mary's Fitbit group if that's what you're into this spring to shape up. And so Maggie wanted to know people's opinions on, you know, they're going to New York. They don't have a zillion dollars. Is it worth it to stay in Manhattan? Should she stay in the New Jersey or a borough? And what should she do? What should they definitely see? All right. I had just a couple of small tips for you, Maggie, because I always think when you go to a city like New York, you have to approach it like I'll be back at some point in my life, you know, so you shouldn't try to cram every single thing into one trip. You know, some places, you know, you're going once, you're never going to go back, like the Galapagos. But New York City, you know, your granddaughter will probably be back in her lifetime. That being said, it's totally worth it to stay in Manhattan. Right, Jewel? Because the great part of New York is that so much of the fun stuff is free if you're there. You know, it's the people watching. It's the window shopping. It's walking through Central Park. It's just wandering around the neighborhoods in Lower Manhattan, wandering around the Village and Soho. And it's just fantastic to walk in the city, to walk the High Line, to be part of the action. And that, to me, is worth the extra money of staying there.
I think that's a good point. I would also say bring good shoes, you know, good walking shoes.
Right.
I mean, aren't you always surprised that even though, you know, I live in a city and I walk all the time, when I go to New York, if I don't have the right shoes, my feet hurt all the time.
All the time. And it's worth it. Yeah.
Yeah. So definitely not clogs. Leave clogs at home, but wear comfortable shoes because you do want to walk. That's the best way to see the city.
It is. You want to walk.
Or the buses are good.
The buses are good. The Fifth Avenue bus going up and down Fifth Avenue. Again, that's a great way to do it. So, you know, and here's the other way to save your money. This is what I would say. Go for the sights, not for the food. Like, don't go to a lot of fancy restaurants. New York restaurants are crazy expensive, and you don't need to eat well.
This is from a girl who is like eating chia pets.
No, I'm just saying, wouldn't you rather spend your money on a Broadway show than a fancy dinner? Like,
they're foodies, but otherwise I would do that.
Yeah. You can get great pizza. You can get great gyros. The street food is good. You know, you can duck into a coffee shop. You can get a great Sammy in New York. So if you're going to spend your money on anything, go see a show, do a museum, you know, actually buy something. But I think those two things, stay in Manhattan if you can afford it at all. You know, use walking. Julie's right. Wear comfortable shoes and save your money. Don't spend it in restaurants because New York is very expensive to eat in. But just, you know, eat a piece of pizza and enjoy the scenes. That's what I would say. And don't try to cram everything in. Just have fun. Know you'll be back and have a lot of fun. Anything else you want to add, Jewel?
No, I think that's a very good good direction there, Liam.
Yeah, that's what I would say. Remember, she's 18. You know?
Yes.
So she's going to want to, you know, go window shop and things like that. It's it's a different experience for an 18-year-old than for an 8-year-old. So, and I always think people undervalue, like, just how fantastic Central Park is. Like, all of Central Park, you know?
And you're right. The people watching in New York is fantastic.
It's fantastic. So, like, you know, it's like going to Paris and just sitting in the cafe. Totally worth it. You know, just watching the people in New York is the same way. So build in a lot of people watching time and cafe sitting time and window shopping time. You just can't lose. You can't lose. You know what, though? And here's the other thing. Like, New Yorkers, though, dress up. So if you don't want to stick out like a sore thumb, you don't have to, you know, look sharp. That's what I would say too. Look sharp. Look sharp. Get the fancy sneakers. Get the good looking leather sneakers and look sharp so you can walk a lot. All right, Maggie, but let me know. There's a lot of good actual people had good hotel suggestions on the Facebook page and specifics for, you know, sightseeing and things like that. So check that out. But you can use our Facebook page for that sort of group intelligence. We love helping the Satellite Sisterhood. And now we have run down our list of varied topics. So we are going to go to Downton Abbey. So just a warning, for all of you, if you're listening and you haven't seen the show, thanks for coming. thanks for stopping by. Have a great week. Have a great week. Enjoy the Grammys, which are shockingly on Sunday night. That seems so fast. I don't know when that happened, but the Grammys are Sunday night, and we'll talk to you this weekend. But now, Julie, we should have some theme music, but we don't have any.
I know, we don't. Don't do that.
All right. We took a little heat on the Facebook page for dumping on Downton Abbey, but I think this week's episode proved that maybe our criticism was right, because I felt like this was the best hour of the season so far. It was sharp. It involved the characters we cared about. It had a broad range from, you know, Mary's story to Daisy's story. It had heart. There were great scenes. There were funny lines. Best hour of the season for me so far, Jewel.
I agree with you, Leanne. I think that was well put. And we were never, like, I don't think we were overly critical. I just think we're highly engaged in watching. But you just have to call things out as you see them. So for you, what were some of the highlights, Leanne?
All right. First of all, it was the night of Mrs. Hughes. She had, you know, great lines when she was taking down Braithwaite. She had tender moments when she gave Carson the photograph that she had framed. It was a fantastic night for Mrs. Hughes.
I agree with you, Leanne. I mean, I think they are going to be studying her management style at business school. When you can say to a fellow, an employee, I am going to lock you up in here and rip off all your clothes. Okay?
Right.
That was something, wasn't it? She just took charge. She just handled that situation. She is one heck of a manager.
Yeah, it was a complete HR violation start to finish. Hey, by the way, I was like rifling through your room, found this bogus book on birth control. You know, now I'm going to strap you down, rip off your clothes and give you a speculum where you don't want one. But she got it done. She got her done. And she just had a great show, Mrs. Hughes. Okay, another highlight for me, Edith finally getting some action. And yet everything else about Edith's storyline is just one giant red flag. Julie, what was that piece of paper she signed?
Oh, I was like, don't sign anything, Edith. You are so on the wrong path. It was some like transferring authority piece of paper. So you just know that soon to be German that she's sleeping with, the card shark soon to be German, you just know that's going to be bad. I mean, I was like screaming at you, don't do it. Don't sign it.
I know that it didn't even make sense. Like, you're not married to him. What the?
I know.
Doesn't he have friends or family? It didn't even make sense. So, you know, it's setting her up for some sort of like horrible, you know, Nazi subplot there, frankly.
Right.
You know that's coming. You know that's coming. But once again, Edith, I was stunned by her arm cuff in that one scene where she's about to go to sleep with that guy. And that spectacular arm cuff, I just loved it.
I know. Really, I got weak-kneed looking at Leanne. I really did. I thought, as Elizabeth Betsy Schmidt said on our Facebook page, all of the clothes and hair this week were outstanding.
Yes.
Don't you think Mary looked outstanding?
Yes.
In that beautiful long purple velvet thing.
Unbelievable.
She looked fabulous. And her hair looked great. All those dinner gowns she was wearing, they really suited her. You know, she had the sleeveless ones.
Right.
The tank top. And then her mom.
She must be freezing, I think, 95% of the time. I mean, how drafty must it be in that giant house? And yeah. She always has a sleeveless dress on.
I know.
And she's so thin now. She's so thin, Mary. Okay. I also loved Alfred applying to Escoffier. I loved that little storyline coming in. I enjoyed just seeing all the downstairs people this week. And we're just going to say it. All of them are more interesting than mostly, who we did not see one frame of this week.
Right. And you and I know. And you were happy about that.
So
I think
happy.
That's right. I know.
And I like the comment on our Facebook page from Sari, who said, "Now, if the doctor and Mrs. Crawley could just go get married and ride off into the sunset."
Yeah, I would like that. But here's my prediction about those two. Yeah. I believe that the doctor is going to pounce on Mrs. Crawley in that storeroom. Now that she's got it all fixed up, he is going to make his move in there. And yes, I would like to see them move on to go, you know, I think they're probably going to go to like Africa or something and start helping people there. And that would be fun. Okay.
All right. And then we have to talk about Tom. I am very interested in Tom as a character because he is straddling both worlds.
Yes.
I love that he had to go to Mrs. Hughes and confess.
Right.
You know, he couldn't tell Mary, but he could tell Mrs. Hughes. That's understandable. It's understandable that he slept with the maid, and it's understandable that he regretted it, and it's understandable that he's trying to figure out his place in the world. So I find it a very interesting storyline. Plus, he's so cute.
Yes. Well, I mean, now that we see Mrs. Hughes in action, any problems that you ever had, wouldn't you go to Mrs. Hughes?
Mrs. Hughes.
She's the fixer. Come on. But Tom, you know, I know last week I said, buck up, Tom. That was my advice to him. But I thought he was very sympathetic this week, and that you can see his great love for his, you know, past Sybil. And, you know, I enjoyed him this week. I thought he did a fine job. So can I mention, though, that both Tom and Mary, they have children. But
yes.
The only scene this week, Leanne, was of the children was like some shot when the maid was running away of like two strollers way out on the grounds of Downton Abbey. And it just made, like, that even though they have these kids, they have toddlers. They don't have any terrible twos at Downton Abbey. You know that?
Nanny's going to bring Sibby down, but we're never going to see that. I think, though, that's probably pretty true. When you read stories about all those British stories claim they like barely saw their parents. So well,
that's it. So
and then
that's...
sent to boarding school at age 5. So, although Cora seems very attached to her children. So I don't understand the difference. Right. You'd think they could see their kids a little bit more. But on the other hand, that doesn't make for good TV. So I'm not.
So you're okay with the kids out in the strollers?
Yeah. Yeah. That big wide shot of Mary and Tom driving down. There was, I saw Tom sort of wave at Sibby and Nanny as he drove down. Now I did like Gilliam. Was that his name? I did like Mary's suitor. I didn't believe he could fall in love in a week and a half.
Oh, are you kidding? I totally believed it.
Okay.
I'm in love with him. Come on.
I know. He seemed very honorable, and I believe Mary will regret that. And, you know, clearly he has to go marry Mabel, who sounds like a fine gal, as Mary said.
So, how about that kiss? That kiss was spectacular.
It was good. It was, and again, because she looked great, and the tweed he was wearing was unbelievable.
He was dreamy. Lady.
He was dreamy. I liked him. I was hoping she would say yes, but then I knew that then the man will be coming more, and that will complicate the Anna storyline. But his man who assaulted Anna. But all right, now we have to get to Anna. I found Anna is a great actress. She, you know, her performance was fantastic. The storyline is just so hard to watch. And I have to say, this putting on my TV writer, you know, novelist hat, it's not, we're not seeing anything new in Anna and Bates's relationship. That's why I objected. Like, we've already been through this with them, like the secrets, the past lies, the separating, the not telling each other the truth, the torture. But Anna's scene with Mrs. Hughes did break my heart. Right. She's a wonderful actress.
It is really, really hard to watch. And she is doing a good job with that. So it's not going to go well. It's not going to go well.
No.
So,
no.
All right.
So here are, what do you have, Jewel? What else?
How about Rose? Can we talk about?
I know.
I mean, she really has no brain whatsoever. Do you think?
No.
Okay. They're dancing with the band, the wedding singer. Okay. Okay. Not
well, first the drunk. I love.
Oh yeah.
That made me laugh. Yeah.
Okay.
I was like, someone go save her. Tom, go save her.
Oh, how about that table? All those people just giving her the stink eye, but nobody was getting up to help her. But
I know.
That was an amazing shot. Just Mary and Tony, you know, they're all just like.
And the aunt. Yeah, she's good. Rosamond. Yeah.
Yes.
She's
so
funny.
That was, but she has no brain whatsoever, does she?
Okay. All right. So there was a little bit of wagering going on the Satellite Sisters Facebook post about who's going to get pregnant first. Will it be Anna? Although PBS has already assured us it's not Anna, or Edith, or Braithwaite. And now you almost have to put Rose in that category because things could, you know, escalate with Rose very quickly.
Uh-huh.
Very quickly.
So where are you putting your money, Lee? And how do you think it's going to go?
You know, I think Edith getting pregnant would be a good storyline. So I don't know if Braithwaite will be back. I don't think she'll be back. I think Tom learned his lesson. I mean, I hope she won't be back because that's kind of a tedious. Again, that's sort of, we already had the unplanned pregnancy with the downstairs maid. And
right.
I know it will give Tom a lot of choices, but it kind of puts his character in this endless loop of trying to find himself. That would be my TV writer hat. So anyway.
Good point. I think Edith, she's just so on the wrong path.
Oh.
That's why she may end up with.
Right. Having to pregnant, sort of having to marry him, go to Germany.
Oh,
and,
right.
And then she'll be a Nazi.
Oh, no. Edith is going to be a Nazi.
I know.
And then do you think her sister will still say that Edith is as interesting as a bucket? Didn't you love that when Mary said
that's
that?
The best line.
I think Mary, when your sister turns out to be a Nazi, you might show her a little more respect.
All right. So here we go. Here's some comments from the Facebook thing. People, Alyssa did not believe that, you know, he was in love. Lord Gilliam was
really?
In love with Mary.
Hmm.
Oh. Okay. Lisa predicting a lot of pregnancies. She thinks the evil maid will be back and prego, which is just a funny word. Everybody loved Mrs. Hughes this week. But Jill says, I wish Anna would just tell Bates it's insane. And then Jill also wanted to know, where are the children? Okay.
And the dog is not getting much time in season 4.
I know. And that's a shame because he's excellent.
Yeah.
Beckett wanted to comment, just Mr. Jazz had too much eyeliner on. and Megan said Mr. Jazz had a really bad American accent, even while singing. And she wants to know why all British TV shows cannot nail the American accent. Couldn't they just do what we do, which is hire British people? So... Megan, that is a good question. Heather loved the little short scene with the kind words to Branson from the Duchess. Okay.
Yes,
I thought
I agree.
Very
I thought
nice.
That was a real turning point.
Yes. And again, those are the tiny moments I felt were missing in the first couple of hours of the show this season. And then Heather also added, she is scared of what Thomas has in store for Cora as he chooses the next maid. Yeah. And then poor Daisy. Everyone wants Daisy to just find a touch of happiness.
I know. I just feel like she's just going to be miserable her whole life. Just filled with regret.
Right.
You know,
right.
Just,
Right. I know. Sorry. So as she watches Alfred go off to Escoffier, I hope as she's helping him prepare for that exam, that something happens there.
That's a wonderful thought.
So we'll see. We'll see. Well, again, much more positive review because much better hour of television this week. So join us next week for another Downton Gabby. Jewel, what else is happening this week with you? You got anything going on?
Well, I may rewatch it again later.
I think it was worth another hour. I saved my recording too. Yeah.
I think I'm going to just watch The Kiss over and over again. I think you were underselling that. That was a big moment.
I know. No, I think it was a good kiss. I was just so struck by how beautiful her suit was and how beautiful his suit was. It was a beautiful shot.
Yeah. And the embrace, just look how they're holding each other.
Yeah.
My goodness. You got to study that. I think that's everyone's homework assignment here at Satellite Sisters is really just rewind that one section and watch that. So well, how about you? You've got your detox going on.
Got the detox going on. I have a quiet week next week where I actually have a bunch of Liz and I are traveling to the Stitcher Awards next week.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah, we're going for it. We're going to those Stitcher Awards. And we actually have sort of a fun day planned too. We're going to go meet with some people at Sunset and go to Sunset Magazine. Remember Peggy Northrup, who was on our show several times? She was the editor-in-chief at More. She's now the editor-in-chief at Sunset. So we're going to have a chance to go visit with her in Menlo Park, your old hometown, and go tour the Sunset Gardens and everything like that. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Well, that sounds like a very fun day, Liz.
Yeah, it'll be a fun. I haven't taken a business trip with Liz in a while. We haven't done a business trip. So I shouldn't have said that because Liz has a whole other job. So okay, never mind. Pay no attention to what I just said.
Yes, you might have to edit this out.
Okay. Whoops. All right, everyone, have a great week, and don't forget, call your satellite sister.